Everyone, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Last day of the year. Wow. 2020 is just about over. We praise God for an opportunity to gather together and to worship Him. And so we just want to take time to extend warm greetings to you with the high five and or an elbow bump or whatever. we're glad that you're here today. Are there any announcements? Bob?
This is a reminder. There's still a few cards back here, but I think we got them pretty well covered with the ones that are here. So I'd just like to take and thank each and every one from our family for the cards and the well wishes and the beautiful verses that were sent. It was very meaningful, and we just loved it. We just thank you, and may you be blessed by it. Also, of course, Tracy will be on vacation after. Well, I guess you call it course of vacation.
Short break.
A working vacation. But anyhow, you'll be missed, and we just wish you the best, and may the good Lord just present the things you need to know in this time of your sabbatical. Watch over your family. Also, for the next 3 months, of course, Tracy will be back on March the 28th, I think it is. And I've got a schedule back here of ministers lined up for this period of time, and so you can avail yourself to it. And next Sunday will be Paul Schilt here with us. I think everybody's pretty familiar with him. And if you can't remember any of the others, like I say, I got it posted up back here on the board. So thank you. We look forward to their ministry, but we thank you and look forward to your studies as well. And may God bless you.
Thank you. And I also got a thank you note from Ronnie Zimmerman. She just writes to the congregation, thank you very much for the donation. So please continue to keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Any other announcements? Okay. Let's begin our worship then with the prelude. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 148, verses 1 and 2 and 13 and 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise him and all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, it is good to come into your house this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship, not only on your day, but the last Sunday of the year. And we're mindful of the many blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And so we just come with hope and expectation for a new year. And we also come, Lord, wanting to praise you. And so we ask that the Holy Spirit indeed would come and be present among us. Your name would be lifted on high. And we ask, Father, that you would have your way and your will be done. And so help us, Lord, in this worship hour to keep our minds and thoughts on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now we'll have our first carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Come, let us worship and adore him. We have lit our candles here in our Advent wreath. The white candle in the center represents Christ, and it's usually lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And so we just wanted to, one more Sunday here, utilize that. Are there any joys or concerns that you would like to share today? I'm sure we have lots of joys. Bob? Okay. All right, go ahead, Deb. Ladies first.
It's just a joy to be here, and it's a joy to see some young men in the audience, because they are our future. And what better way for them to start by being here? I just want to lift up the Bittner family in the passing of Paul, and I want to lift up the Ronnie Isler family here on the Ridge in the passing of Ronnie. So those families will surely need our prayers in the days ahead.
Okay, thank you. Bob?
I'm just grateful that we're in the Christmas season. We can celebrate Jesus and also have him to be in our pocket and our heart all year round simply by providing the Holy Spirit as our comforter. And giving us a time together with the family last evening. So we rejoice in that and just being able to have good continuity and compassion for one another and the love. And, well, I'm just glad God gave us what he did. So, but anyhow, I think and continue to pray for Larry and Michelle and that his comfort would be received and Michelle's care, that she gives her protection there. It's a job. And then Brandy back here, of course, is still going through some various physical things and needs to be lifted up. Poor Frank and Pat isn't here. Pat's not feeling too good this morning. Which, on the other side of it, Frank said his hip was feeling pretty good. So,
great.
We got some good things coming out of that. And Debbie, what's Andy's last name that you work with?
Forrest.
I can't never remember her last name. Anyhow, I think she's coming along fairly good, but we still want to continue to lift her up. And Tracy, for you, your ministry, and for your sabbatical coming up and the time you've given us so far, we know you need a break in your family, and we just pray that everything goes well and you come fully nourished and lifted up in this time.
Thank you.
And Mr. Kemp, he's not with us, but he had a knee replacement a while back, and so I think he's doing pretty good. And we thank God for that. And of course, we don't want to forget the Baker family. We don't want to forget the Harmon family, because any time we lose someone, whether it's family or whether it's not, it hurts. And we have to be comforted by those around us and by the presence of our Lord. And then, of course, our president, his cabinet, and the future leaders, and for our country, and for our people, to wait that is in power, to wait for God's instructions to be able to lead us in the right direction. And then, me. I would ask your prayers upon me for my condition. I might sound crazy at times, but if I can't make somebody laugh, I'll feel bad. It's kind of tough to get along in life. And then my family near and far that has some other circumstances, and we just want to lift them up as well.
Sure. And also just I would add to that, Elijah Moser is going to be deployed. I talked to Cindy on the phone. He's going to be deployed to Afghanistan in March, probably about 4 or 5 months through the summer. And so we want to keep Elijah in our thoughts and prayers for God's protection. Others? Yes.
I'd like to ask for prayers for her father had a heart attack this week.
Okay.
My girlfriend.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me write that in.
And he passed away?
Yesterday.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was 80, though.
80?
So it was tough for the family. It's a very small family over there. So
yes.
It's kind of tough. You know?
Especially here at the holidays, too.
It is tough for the holidays.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, Danny?
I just wanted to, my mom is doing very well right now. All her numbers are up, her energy level's up, and she's just doing really, really well right now.
on Tuesday. Okay? Any others? I'm sure there's lots more on your hearts. Why don't we come to the Lord in prayer? As we do so, you're welcome to kneel or remain seated. Let's bow our heads and pray together, and then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. God, we come into your house this morning rejoicing in your name and being able to again celebrate your first Advent. And so, Lord, what a blessing it is to even in this pandemic to see and talk to family and be with family over this special time. And for the many gifts, Lord, we are abundant in wealth and good blessings, and we just thank you, Lord, for all that Christmas brings. Thank you for those that are recovering from their surgeries, and we pray that you would continue to be with Ronnie Adler, and we thank you, Lord, for hips, for Frank's hip, and for John's knee doing well. We just pray you would continue to let those operations, everything knit together and heal and work properly. God, we pray for traveling mercies for Caleb. We thank you that he was able to get home for the holidays, and we just ask your blessings and a hedge protection around him, Lord, as well as Elijah, Lord, all that are serving. Think of others that I know, Ashley and Hunter and many others that are in the armed forces, Lord. Wherever they are stationed right now, Lord, we just ask your blessings on them as they're away and apart from their families. Lord, we just pray you would continue to bring about a resolution here with this COVID-19. And so thank you for the new vaccines that are coming out. And we pray that they would be effective and helpful. And we just ask, Lord, that there would be a downturn in the numbers and that we may be able to get back to more of a normal in 2021. And so keep a hands of protection around those that are working with the front lines. First responders, our healthcare doctors and nurses, and all who serve our communities, Lord, we just ask your blessings upon them and their families. We pray for those that are recovering. So those that are sick, Lord, we ask that you would help them to get well. And we pray, Lord, you would especially be with Larry and Bob and Pat, Bradley, Angie, and others, Lord, are on our hearts and on our minds. Thank you for those that are seeming to do well at the moment. And we just thank you, Lord, for answering prayers in the past. We pray that you would comfort families that are grieving at this time. So be with the Bittner family and Eiler and Sarah with the loss of her dad. And God, we just pray that you would bring back good memories and bless those families, Lord, at this time. We want to lift up our leaders, Lord, locally and nationally. And so all who make decisions that affect our lives, Lord, help us to live in 2021 with peace and security. And so we just pray you would move mightily. Prince of Peace, would you come and would you have your way in our world today? And we thank you, Lord, for those who are serving in various capacities in our local organizations, our soup kitchens, our pantries, Lord, our those that are running shelters for the homeless, Lord. So many things need to continue on a regular basis, and yet maybe not as many volunteers because of COVID. And so, Lord, would you just provide for all of these places? We ask that there be enough food on the shelves to give out. And we pray, Lord, you would continue to move in our communities. As people are out of work, and many are not sure what they're going to do in the new year. We pray, Lord, you would hear their cry and that you would meet their needs. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon this congregation. And we ask, Lord, as we have met here now 24 Sundays indoors, we thank you, Lord, for your hand of protection upon us. And for the grace that you've extended to us. And so we just pray that all would be in good health and that you would allow your blessings to continue to extend in the time that we're absent one from another. Lord, hear our prayer as the Lord taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we'll have our second carol here. There's a song in the air. Our gospel reading comes from Luke, the second half of that chapter, beginning in verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, in the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years before her virginity. And this one was a widow, of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May God add its blessing to the reading of his word. And now to enhance the scripture reading, I'd like for you to see and hear it as well. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence to ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds now indeed would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So how was your Christmas day? I'm sure it was a little different this year than normally. Ours was. And, you know, for some, this has been a difficult holiday, maybe because of the recent death of a family member or just whatever we're going through as the whole world is going through it together. This first time that we've ever experienced a worldwide pandemic like this. I didn't go visit my mother, which is unusual, but going into Pennsylvania, I would have had to quarantine 2 weeks coming back, so I just called, and she still was having a hard time understanding why we can't hug and see each other. For Christmas Day, we just had Wesley and Paige come over. Normally, we would have had a meal together, but they just came for a short time, and we opened gifts behind Mass. And we did get a chance to see Matthew and Kaylee with a phone call there. Fortunately for that, they were able to call us earlier in the day. And then later in the day, there was as a result of the bombing in Nashville, their ATT service went down. So we were going to talk to them again later in the day and weren't able to get through. Found out that their computer and phones were off because of the disruption in service. So we were blessed to still be able to see them on Christmas Day in spite of everything going on. I'm sure your Christmas was a little bit different as well. We might think, well, this was maybe the worst Christmas or maybe the most difficult one we've had, but I'm sure it wasn't as difficult it was for us as it was for Mary and Joseph. And so I'd like for us to think about that a little bit this morning and what they went through, traveling so far, so close to delivery. Can you imagine her discomfort riding a donkey for many miles? His anxiousness, trying to care for Mary and make it as easy as possible, and yet trying to doing what they had to do. They had to go to Bethlehem, and so can just imagine all the things that they were thinking and feeling. I'm sure there was thoughts going through his mind. Well, you know, I never delivered a baby before. what if there's complications? And being a first-time mother, I'm sure. As a young bride, she was also as concerned. And so what would they find when they got to Bethlehem, and how would this all play out? And they didn't have the assurances that we usually do today. For those that are who are parents, I'd like for you to think back for the first time that you had your first child. I'm sure the men were anxious. Back then it was, you know, you had to pack the suitcase and heat some hot water maybe, or you had the car anxiously ready and made that short drive to the hospital and waited in the waiting rooms. When our kids came along, we were at the time frame where they were letting men into the rooms and with the birth, and so I got the chance to cut the cord for each of my three boys. It was a tense time. When Pat's first came along, when Wesley came along, she had toxemia, and so we were in and out of the hospital several times, and then finally he came. Mary and Joseph had a lot more on their minds. They had to travel on a dirt road, on a donkey, not just a few miles, but up to 90 miles. 90 miles, making quite a trek to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is further south than Jerusalem, and so Joseph had to go to his ancestral home. And so they went along the flatlands of the Jordan River. They went up over the hills that surrounded Jerusalem. When the scriptures talk about going up to Jerusalem, it literally is going up. There's hills around Jerusalem. And then finally getting to Bethlehem, which is called the House of Bread. It was a fairly grueling trip, probably taking up to a week. Now, can you imagine being traveling? Traveling is exhausting enough, right? But traveling at that time, when she is so close, having maybe some false contractions, as well as the bumps on the road, riding the donkey and him walking, trying to make as much time as possible and yet going slow enough that it is comfortable for her. And then finally to get there and to find that the place is crowded. Other people also had to travel to Bethlehem, and now the city is full and there's no place for them. How anxious a time it must have been for Joseph, running around trying to find, you don't have any rooms, you don't have any rooms, going here and there. And finally someone had offered that, well, you know, we're all full, but you're welcome to stay in the stable. And so at a place that God had destined, Christ comes into our world. And then think about their experience then after Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. The first visitors, the animals, smelly sheep, and stable is not necessarily the most conducive place to give birth. And then the first guests, some poor shepherds, come and they see the Savior and they speak about him to others. They spread the news by word of mouth, what the angels had told them. As Luke puts it, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings that were told him concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept and pondered all these things in her heart. A lot to think about, a lot to process, a lot to ponder, a lot to wonder. But their ordeal wasn't over now. Now that Christmas Day was here, that first Christmas Day was just starting. And, according to the scriptures, then it was their custom, and following the law of the Lord, then they took their son to be circumcised on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? God, he's the one who created us, right? He knows how our bodies work. And at that time, the child was the best able to heal from a cut on the eighth day. That was when the vitamin K is the highest in the blood system. And so on the eighth day, they go to the closest place that they can get to is Jerusalem. And of course, that would be the main place to go, the temple. And so they're on the road again, up to maybe 5 miles to Jerusalem. And they're doing so out of faithful obedience to the scriptures, to perform not only the circumcision, but then also her cleansing ritual. So they're in Jerusalem for a few days, and they're able then to perform these tasks. He's named Jesus. This takes place at the circumcision. He is named. And again, it's not a name that would normally be given. He would made it most likely it would have been called Joseph Jr. or maybe some ancestral name. But he's chosen the name that is instructed by the angel before he was conceived. And so they perform these two rituals. Notice, we might miss, that it's two turtle doves. And if we go back into Leviticus, back into the law of the Lord, we read these words. And this is indication of their status in society. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, until she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleaned from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has born a male or a female. If she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean." And so Mary and Joseph were too poor to bring a lamb, to bring a sheep, and also a turtle dove. And so the law made provision for those that weren't wealthy. And so they were simply to bring 2 turtle doves, one to be offered for each. And so Mary and Joseph fulfill the commandment, their commandments, they fulfill their faithfulness in doing this task. It's not a great burden to travel from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, but it certainly is would have been a great difficulty to go back to Nazareth at this time. We also know in the Matthew scripture that the Magi sometimes come between this time. They can come up to 2 years. We suspect that Jesus was about 2 years of old or younger because of the number of children that Herod killed. He killed all the babies in Bethlehem 2 years and younger in order to try to catch Jesus. But they escape, and then they go on to Egypt. And so their traveling days are not over. They're now refugees in a foreign country. Our scripture for today is about Mary and Joseph's experience in the temple. It is a grand place. What a magnificent building it is. It's one that Solomon had constructed, and they encounter God and the priest there. And so this particular text is about two saints, two very important individuals. We don't know about them in other parts of Scripture, but we do from Luke. And so these dear followers of God long to see his word fulfilled in their lives, and they have a burden and a yearning to see the Messiah. Now notice that for centuries, the prophets longed to see this happen. They foretold about it, and they desired that in each lifetime, they desired that maybe it would be in their lifetime that the Messiah would come. And finally, Simon here, he gets word from the Holy Spirit that you won't die until you see the Messiah. The Holy Spirit is at work, bringing people together at the right time, at the right moment, and we hear the praise that comes from their lips as God answers their prayers. I think we see here the heart of a loving God, one who allows his servants to see the Messiah in their lifetime. What is it that you're yearning for? What is it that you hope for, that in my lifetime I'll get a chance to see it? Might be a loved one coming to know the Lord. Maybe it's something that would take place within your family. Maybe it would be some sort of an accomplishment or achievement that you would like to see it happen. I would just have a great sense of peace if I knew this was taken care of, if I knew this happened before I die. This is the longing that Simon had. And so he knew very well the prophetic words that were mentioned long ago. And now the Holy Spirit says, this is the one. There have been other couples in and through the temple. Many other parents had brought children to be circumcised, to have the purification laws taken care of. And as each one passed through, no, not the one. That's the one. This is the one. And he got a clue. This is the child. He says, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Can you imagine Mary standing at the cross, seeing her son? It's a terrible thing to lose a child. It's one of the worst things a parent could go through. You know, I remember talking to a lady years ago when I first started in Frederick's ministry, and she was in the nursing home. She herself was in her 90s, close to 100, and she was a great help to me because she was able to tell me who was who and how people were related in the congregation. She once said to me, she said, you know, I lost my parents, and that was hard. I lost my spouse. Most of all, my friends are gone. But it almost killed me when I lost a child. She had outlived even a child. It is one of the worst things that a parent can go through. And so imagine Mary standing at the cross. A sword pierced her soul, pierced her heart, seeing her son hanging there on the cross. But Simon recognizes this is the Savior. And he bursts into song, if you will, and he sings praise to God. This is the one, this is the child that we've been longing for. And as he does so, at that moment, another saint enters the room. It's Anna. And the Holy Spirit also reveals to her, this is the one. Now, mind you, she'd been in the temple a long time. At least 84 years, fasting and praying as a widow, praying for God's will to be done, for her to see God's will take place. And then she also, not only does she get to see, but then she speaks about the Messiah. She gives praise to God. I like to share, this is a little storybook that we used to read our kids about this time of year. And I love stories that rhyme. And so this is a little short rhyming tale, but I think it tells the story of Anna quite well. And so Christmas is a time for stories, right? So it's okay, I think, to read a little story. Back in the days when Christ was born, a woman came to stay in the temple in Jerusalem. She prayed there night and day. Her name was Anna. She lived alone for 80 years or more. Her husband died when she was young, and she was very poor. She really had to be quite old, I guess almost 100. She had the power to prophesy and often sat and wondered. She knew the Lord would come to earth. She often saw this vision. She knew that he would die for us. To share this was her mission. Each day she talked to those who came into the church to pray. The Lord is coming very soon, perhaps this very day. He'll save Jerusalem and all of us who wait here for him. He'll take all of our sins away. Let's worship and adore him. The people smiled at Anna's words, but they weren't really hearing. Still, Anna knew that he would come. She trusted, never fearing. These people listened for a while, but then they walked away, and Anna once again returned to wander through the day. I wonder if he'll be a king, if I will live to see him. She wondered as each boy was brought to church, if it might be him. But as parents brought their sons to bless, she knew that none was Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior dear, whose death forever frees us. So Anna was in Jerusalem when Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem with all of those who had King David's name. She didn't know that they could not find a special place to stay, but the best they found that holy night was an old barn filled with hay. And she didn't hear the angels sing to shepherds poor and cold. She didn't hear the words of peace and joy those angels told. She didn't get to go with them into that tiny stable, but I believe she would have gone if only she'd been able. No, Anna wasn't there that night. She missed the angel's song, but somehow still she knew that she would see him before long. She also missed the star that shone on high that Christmas night. She didn't see the Christ that lay beneath that brilliant light. She didn't go to Bethlehem with the wise men who came there. She didn't see them kneel and give their gifts so fine and rare. She rode no mighty camel's back as these famous men. She didn't come from some strange land and then go home again. But she knew somehow that God had given her a gift to share. She told all those who came to church of God's great love and care. And though she missed the angel's song and never saw the star, she knew that God would send his son to this world from afar. And then, one day, as she was praying, a happy couple came to get a blessing on their son, and Jesus was his name. She watched when Simeon took the child. He was as old as she. He thanked the Lord that he had lived long enough to see. The baby that he held and blessed, she knew this was the one. She hurried forward just as fast as her old legs could run. As Simeon finished his words of joy, Anna's voice filled all the hall. Our God be praised! This is his son who's come to save us all. All you who look for freedom from this ugly world of sorrow, this is the Lord. He's here today. Don't wait until tomorrow. He'll die to save us from our sins. From the grave he'll arise. And in heaven he'll make a home for us up high above the skies. No doubt the people wondered when they heard what Anna spoke. Some might have thought she spoke the truth, but most thought it a joke. But as we now look back today, we know her words were true. This woman showed living faith in God to me and you. Like her, we missed the song and star on that first Christmas night, but we have seen their message grow much louder and more bright. And just like Anna, we have the job to share her happy story. God sent his son to save us all and bring us to his glory. Simeon and Anna remind us that they had a chance to see the Christ, and then they spoke about him. They shared with others the good news. And this is really still our task today. I think there's a couple of things that we can learn from this scripture. One is that we want to have a reverence for the giver of gifts. We just celebrated Christmas Day and received and opened many gifts. And so we want to respond to the giver of gifts, the one who gives us the gift of life. It is God. God, in keeping his laws and observing his word, we were able to show our worship, our service. We're able then to share that with others around us. You know, secondly, these are simple people. Mary and Joseph were poor people, but they were obedient. They were chosen of God, and they were willing to do what God wanted them to do to fulfill his plan of salvation for the world. Anna and Simeon were just common people serving in the temple, doing their regular tasks in day in, week out, and yet they had an opportunity to participate in this wonderful story that we still tell today. They were able to be there to witness all of these things taking place. Mary and Joseph, out of their simplicity and obedience, they give not out of their surplus, but out of what they can afford. They give these two turtle doves. Simeon and Anna, very just, devout people, and they really had a purpose for being there. And they knew that this wasn't just for Israel, but they also knew that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles. And so that's you and me. We get able to participate in the plan of God because of what Christ has done for us. And so Luke gives us this wonderful story here about these people, very important ones. And not only did they see him, but then they spoke about him. And I hope that that is our task as well, that when you see him, that you will also speak about him. Many of you have been Christians all of your lives. There was a point when the light bulb went on, right? There was a point when the Spirit spoke to your heart and you said yes to Christ. You said yes to God. And so we have seen him. Maybe not with our physical eyes, but we've seen him with our spiritual eyes, with our hearts. And then our task then is to share. You know, the Lord could just go ahead and take us on home to heaven, but he's left us here for a purpose and for a reason. And we want to continue to share and to tell others about him. And so, have you seen him? Have you spoken about him? Does your spirit rejoice when you see Christ? When you see the things of God, what God is doing in our world, does your heart rejoice? Are you rejoicing in this first Advent? And are you looking forward to his second coming? You know, what a blessing it would be if he came in our lifetime. It certainly is very possible. We don't know the exact hour or day, but it certainly is possible. We're in this season. And all of these prophecies have been fulfilled except him stepping through the door. And so it could take place in our lifetime. What a blessing that would be to see him with our physical eyes coming in the skies, coming to take us home. Simeon and Anna remind us that when we see the Christ, that we should speak about him as well, to give the glory to God, to lift his name up before others, to tell others that he is a wonderful God. And so this Christmas day was a very special one. It maybe not been what we wanted, It might be that we had to deal with a death, or we might have to be dealing with some sort of crisis that's going on in our world or in the world. We might have to deal more personally with the pandemic. But, you know, as we turn a new calendar in just a few days, we are that much closer to His coming, that much more closer to seeing His salvation. What a blessing that is for us, that He rules in our hearts and that He has His way in our lives. And so I trust that 2020 will not only be a happy new year, but I trust and hope that it will be a healthy new year for us all as well. So when I first came to Monocacy, I filled in two times at the end of 2013, and then I began preaching regularly on the second Sunday of January in 2014. Since that time, I have given you 325 sermons. Hopefully, you've heard and seen that God is good. God loves us. He has provided for us. And He is going to keep His promises to us, to Israel, and to the church. And these are glorious days in which to live. We are seeing the prophecies unfold before our eyes in our generation, with the birth of Israel, with all that's going on around us. His coming is so near, so close. And so it is, I think, with a lot of hope and expectation that we look forward to a new year. We're kind of glad 2020 is gone, right? And we're ready for some things to get back to normal in 2021. But what shouldn't get back to normal is that we cease from telling others what Christ has done for us, that we have seen Him, and we know Him, and we love Him, and we serve Him. And I think others are also looking for the Savior as well. And so continue to point them in the right direction. And so I want to just, on behalf of me and my family, wish you and yours a very healthy and happy new year. May God bless you. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, You're the giver of light, and we just pause on this Christmas Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas, this last Sunday of 2020, to praise You for the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift, the light to the Gentiles. God, we can't help but express our gratitude for Your great and perfect plan of salvation. You sent Your one and only begotten Son into the world to be born, to grow, to live as the Son of Man, to die on a cruel cross at Calvary. And Lord, You've done all that we might believe and have everlasting life. And so, God, would You help us to see more clearly who You are as the Messiah, as Lord, and coming King, and then to speak about Jesus to others. So let the Holy Spirit move in our hearts and in our lives, that as we see the truth of God's Word and feel Your love, that we also give You the honor and the glory and the praise. We have so much to be thankful for materially, Lord, and we also ask that You might bless us spiritually, like Simeon and Anna. Lord, fill us with joy for having seen the Christ as we share that with others. And so I pray that You would let the light of Christ be seen on our countenance, and that Your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and guide us in this new year, 2021. God, I pray too for a hedge protection over this congregation as we're absent one from another, and that You would bring us together again, that we might continue to serve You in the new year. And so give us, Lord, a healthy and happy new year. And all of God's people said, amen. We'll close our service with this carol. Good selection. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Happy New Year.